shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Hello, welcome back to Mastercast, the Man United Tactical Podcast. I'm your host, Haider Rabbani. I'm joined by Rob Blanchett, as always. Manchester United have beaten Spurs 3-2. Ronaldo with a fantastic hat-trick. Viva Ronaldo, as a lot of people will be singing today and, you know, sort of for the rest of the week. But guys, as always, give us a follow on at TF Mastercast. Give myself a follow on at Haider underscore Rabbani. And give Rob a follow on at underscore Rob underscore B. Rob, you were at the game yesterday. Obviously, the headlines will go to Ronaldo. Fantastic impact on the game. Obviously, he's been out injured. Lovely first goal. I mean, it was from very, very far out. Great header for the third one. And then, you know, nicely worked second goal as well with Sancho's cross. But Man United weren't particularly great. I think, you know, sort of their structure off the ball wasn't brilliant. You know, didn't create very much. But really, at this stage of the season for Ralph Rangnick, it's just about winning games, isn't it? Keep on chipping away. Take each game as it comes. Get the points on the board. Very slim to no chance, in my opinion, of getting top four. But, you know, if United can keep on winning football matches, that's all that really matters at this stage.
There's nothing more important for Manchester United at the moment than winning. If you don't win, everything else becomes irrelevant. Performances, individuals, scoring goals, not scoring goals, none of it matters at this stage of the season. You must win. So this is where Ralph Rangnick is. I think he's come into the football club. He's fixed a few things. I think he's probably seen as a few things that cannot be fixed in the rest of the time scale that he's at the football club. And this is where we sit today. So performances do not matter, but performances to go and get the result do. Did Manchester United 100% deserve their victory against Tottenham Hotspur? Well, they scored three goals, so you would say yes. But again, lots of fractured play, tons of stats that you read after the game and you think, that isn't very good. Why is that still not very good? And you win the game because Ronaldo has a vintage one. Ronaldo hits a ball from 45 yards, finds a top corner, a lovely finish off, obviously after Sancho, and then a typical towering Ronaldo header. Obviously, I celebrated it like everyone else in the stadium. It's fantastic. But I don't think you could come away from Old Trafford and feel that things are fixed in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, I think, look, there's a lot of talk here. I mean, Mohsen saying he thought Varane was good. Sancho, we're going to talk about Sancho today. Fred was immense. I thought Fred had a very, very good game. Pushed up forward, very busy, very proactive. You know, linked play quite well, actually, in the final third. But let's go on and start with, you know, the match analysis for today. So we've got the graphics up from who scored. United, it felt a little bit like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, like, didn't it, Rob, in the sort of the formation and the... And, you know, sort of the personnel. But what was interesting was United were creative in apparently scoring goal-scoring opportunities from through balls. I didn't really see that, if I'm honest. I think that was quite an interesting thing that we saw from the match summary for who scored. You know, they were strong at finishing. Ronaldo was very effective. If you look at the XG, United hardly created enough, but obviously Ronaldo pulled it out the bag, you know, as we know he can do. And that's the point, you know, that we're going to talk about a little bit today is that he will score goals for United, but... The question is the long-term sort of suitability. But I thought Spurs were the better side. You know, I thought that their structure was better. We're going to talk about their spacing as well a little bit later on. Passed the ball around nice to Man United. And yeah, like, look, I'm just delighted with the victory, to be honest with you. I really enjoyed the victory, but it didn't really show us anything different than what we already know.
No, I think Spurs look like a team that have got their permanent manager and know that whatever happens, they're going to have to conform to his identity. I think Man United, on the other hand, are fighting fire to try and get in the top four and doing anything they can to win matches, which is how it felt on the day. Again, lack of structure. You just said they felt very Ole-like. That's exactly what I thought. 4-2-3-1, a pronounced mid-block, which is now we've seen a few times from Rangnick. And not specifically a double pivot, but very defensively function-minded to protect your slow defenders. So this is the whole thing that Fred, I think, looked good against Tottenham because Matic just did the screening and the sitting. It allows Fred to go and do his thing, doesn't it? Fred has shown that he can be a very competent number eight and get forward. But I think maybe the dreams that we had of gegenpressing, of counter-pressing, of seeing United play a style that pushes them towards the philosophies of Man City and Liverpool and the teams at the very, very top in Europe, it's not going to happen. And I think this is what we're seeing as Ranić is giving way to that. Ranić saying, well, do you know what? I've got these players for another 2 or 3 months. My job here to win is to win. That's all I'll be remembered for. I won't be remembered for my systems or my tactics or my innovation. And what do we see? We see a 4-2-3-1 Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Man United set up, because that's probably the system that fits these players best. That's why Ole played it. So this is the whole thing with Ronaldo at the top end of the pitch. We saw no pressing at all in the top end. Sancho, Rashford weren't really tasked with any setting any traps, no counter-pressing. And in for that, I'm disappointed in a way, but obviously I'm very happy with the victory. But it does show me the disappointment is born of knowing that Manchester United have got problems that are going to extend way into the next manager's tenure.
I actually want to pick up on one of the points you just said, Rob. It's actually very interesting. You said that Spurs are a side, you know, obviously you've got a permanent manager who know they've got to play the system and listen to the manager. Man United have got a manager who they know is going out the door in a couple of months' time. That does make a difference, doesn't it, when adopting philosophies and tactics and mindset, because ultimately, and this is something we did speak about last week, and it was something that frustrated me with these players, is that, you know, why aren't they listening to Ranić? Why in some ways are they thinking, right, well, you know, Ten Hag or Pochettino could be coming in through the door in 2 months. I'm just going to wait till then. But I think what you did see is you saw a Spurs side who have players who essentially know that if they don't perform, they're out the door. Whereas with these players here, it's almost going to be a clean slate again, isn't it? So in some way, they don't really need to adopt what Ranić's doing. And I think you're right. He's just trying to get from game to game and to win games. And unfortunately, we're probably not going to see much more of the counter-pressing or what we were excited about at the beginning.
Exactly. And it depends what you want. So like, again, already in the comments, I can kind of see, oh, Ronaldo's, that was the problem. La, la, ha, ha, ha. You know, the joke is on us because we think that it's just about those magic moments. That's all football's about. And we know it's not. It's much more hard work than that. The tactics and everything. That's why we do the show, to try and maybe break a bit of it down, take the hysteria out and add some realism. So Cristiano had a great game yesterday, didn't he? Because we saw vintage Ronaldo. And I think that Sancho was a major part of that. We're also going to talk about why Ronaldo seems better without Bruno and why Bruno seems better without Ronaldo. That is still, a reoccurring theme for this Man United team and will be in the weeks ahead. But you saw that if you're not going to counter-press, if you're not going to do that work at the top of the pitch, and you can get away with Ronaldo in your team, and Ronaldo will probably have enough energy to be a better version of Ronaldo. But was the team good on the day? No, the team wasn't good. The team, again, an XG of below one, which is sad at home. And Ranić showed that in those early days of when he was executing the counter-press, Ronaldo was finding it hard to score and be involved in games. Their XG was above two. So is it this? They've gone in half, but they're doing it because they're trying to consolidate now. They're going, you know, Ranić's going, I've got these players. I've got to win games with them, even if it's a scrappy 1-0, or even if we concede goals. So I don't think that that's a productive way of looking forward. But of course, we know this manager's not going to be there. But as you said about Conte, that is always the difference between having a full-time manager and an interim, is that the interim, people will look at him and go, well, I might like him. I might respect his tactics. He's playing me. He's not playing me. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. I get my wage, I go home. Whereas the Tottenham players can't think like that, can they? Because they know that if they don't perform, then they'll get dropped. So there is a difference between the mindset of the two clubs. But of course, United fans will be high today because they go, well, we beat Tottenham 3-2. Well, does that mean that United are in a better situation than Tottenham? No.
Well, I think United, I think if you're going to look at it purely on the table and where we are, yeah, you can say that United are. If you're looking at off the pitch and the sort of the strategy in terms of, right, okay, so now we've got a full-time manager, this is a plan going into year 1, 2, and 3. No, United don't. I agree with that. Yeah. But I think if you're going to look at it purely in what's happening in terms of the league table, as we always say, the league table doesn't lie. Mm. You can't say that. But I think that's maybe part of the frustration. Look, I know that you're very heavy on Ranić and you want Ranić to be the manager. And at times I've actually thought, you know what, you know, over the last 2-3 weeks where United have clearly looked a better unit, more structured in terms of being, or in terms of off the ball, better on the ball, more creative, just couldn't put chances away. It makes you do think that, you know what, if United did actually back him and gave him the contract, it'd be quite interesting to see what he could do. So I think that's probably a little bit of frustration for me. It's not even glimpses. We're seeing solid improvements. The results haven't necessarily shown that, but that's where nuance comes in, doesn't it?
Totally. But like as you just said there, applying that science, 6 to 8 weeks ago, Man United fans would have gone, well, we're well ahead of Arsenal. They would have done, you know, in terms of their build. But the truth is Arsenal are way ahead of us in that, and they're ahead of us in the table. So that's where you've got to kind of look at it, is that I'm not comparing Man United to Tottenham Hotspur. I'm comparing a club that has no manager and no future at the moment. Of course, we will get a full-time manager, to a team that already has one. So Arteta as well, at Arsenal, they've taken their pain, they've taken their medicine, they've done the hard work for 2 years. They're now in a position in the table ahead of us. And to me, I look at them as future title challengers. Do I look at Man United at the moment as future title challengers? Well, no, because we don't know who the manager's going to be. We don't know who the players are going to be. We don't know what the tactics are going to be. And you're scraping through games now. Like, I think the performances are declining and have done over the last 6 or 7 weeks. But United are fighting to try and get results. So if you go and knock Atletico out, great. You beat Tottenham, great. But you could see the gulf now, Haydar, in some of those other matches where performances are not translating into goals and victories. But you win 3-2. No one's, I'm not saying to anyone here, don't feel happy about that. Feel happy about that. But this, it feels like this chugging away that we're doing at Manchester United is going to continue for a while longer.
Yeah, but that's the story of the season, I think, for me, Rob, to be honest with you.
Well, the story of 10 years.
Yeah.
It's like 10 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not, this is the problem. You know, like United fans want to react to wins, and that's great. But this is a long, long, decade-long problem. And we have to start finding solutions, because if we don't get the solutions, you're just going to be this club. You get a hat-trick and everyone feels great because it's rolling back the years for Cristiano. And everyone would have felt great on that final whistle. But it doesn't put you in a better place as a football club. So that's why, that's what I worry about, I think, in terms of the business of football.
I'm going to bring up this question here. Rob from Ronan saying, will Ronaldo be here next season? Does it depend on top four? We'll just quickly touch on that, and then we will go into Ronaldo, is he better without Bruno? But yeah, let's answer that, because obviously he's come back to win. That's what he wants to do. He's in the twilight of his career. Not many 37-year-olds, let's be honest, can play for Man United at that age, at the top end of the pitch. You know, I was absolutely delighted when he came back. But I'm probably sitting here now and thinking, if you're not going to get a younger striker, reinvest. You've got to think about the wage bill. We were talking about the wage bill, weren't you? Let's say there's a couple of players that need to go out. Juan Mata's on a huge wage. Let's say Harry Maguire is on a huge wage. You've got Dean Henderson as well, who's sitting on the bench on 120k a year. Ronaldo's on the big one. Cavani's on 250 grand a week. So you're looking at over, you know, over a million a week on these players. If you can clear your decks like that, and then bring in players on a fraction of that price, and you know, which will fit the new manager's system, then it's a no-brainer, isn't it? Even just from a financial point of view. But I think Ronaldo probably will go at the end of the season. I don't see United getting top four, to be honest. And yeah, I think it'll be a short and sweet sort of, or maybe not so sweet, time in his second stint at Man United.
I think even if United get top four, if United got in the Champions League next year, they should let Cristiano go. Should let him go. He's 37. He's going to be 38. His legs have gone. He can still do what he did yesterday and give you those magic moments. But this Man United team over the last 12 months has become compromised, and it's because of that. So this is the whole thing, is that if you really want to have a team that competes and wins, you're going to have to take your medicine and do it the right way. You can't keep Galactico-ing it and bodging it, because this is what United have been doing. So I think the thing with Cristiano is that if he stayed, you know, is he going to be fitter and younger and more sprightly and you find a system for him? No, that's not going to happen. And you can see how the kind of shapes of play with Man United, that if you want to play a counter-pressing style, like you just said there, Haydar, you've got to go and buy those players. You've got to go and get those players in now and work around it. You can't stick or twist. Like, this is not what it's about. This is about progressive building. Keep going, keep building it. And this is why you need a coach that will do it. So this is why I like Ranić and why I wanted to keep him, because he's seen these guys for 5 or 6 months now. I think Gary Neville said it yesterday. He said, you can tell that this manager, he's not really enjoying what he's watching. This team is not in his DNA. This team is not a reflection of him. He's just got to somehow try and win with Ronaldo. So I think this is the problem.
Well, but it's Ole's squad.
It's Ole's squad, and Ole's gone. So whoever the next manager comes in, it will be his squad. And I'm telling you now, there's no way that Ten Hag forms a team next year around Cristiano Ronaldo. Does not happen. Pochettino will not do it unless he's told he has to do it. You know, if you bring in any of those senior managers or top managers, a Luis Enrique, a Diego Simeone, not one of them is going to have Cristiano Ronaldo as the starter. But where we are today is that he is the starter because United haven't got options. So you need to find options, reshape your team and do something better. So like you just said there, Fred had a good game. Fred did have a good game yesterday. Is Fred your midfield answer for the future? Absolutely not. He's too hit or miss. So there's a lot of that at Man United at the moment that needs to be worked on. And this is why, you know, when Cristiano scores a hat-trick and it's a good moment, it's very easy just to forget the rest of the season because it's been so painful, hasn't it? It's easy to forget that pain. But that's only in the moment because then you have the next game and normally the next game reveals what you tried to avoid the previous game.
And I think that's the point. We're not saying Ronaldo is the problem. We're not saying Ronaldo's the only one that can't play.
It's one of many problems.
System going forward, it's not just Ronaldo, Rob. And I looked through that first 11 yesterday and I think, you're not good enough. Genuinely, I think the two fullbacks, although I think Dalot is better than Wan-Bissaka, not good enough. Telles can't do anything on the back foot. Obviously, he did get an assist for that corner. I look at the centre-backs as well. Varane, I'd keep. Maguire, I wouldn't. The midfield, Matic needs to go. He's old, but it's not his fault. Fred, Pogba's probably on. Well, Pogba might be on his way out. I don't know. Then you look at it, you've got to build it around Jadon Sancho, and we will talk about Jadon Sancho in more detail, you know, as becoming that leader in United in terms of creativity. Marcus Rashford, again, awful form. You look at Ronaldo. It's almost a brand new 11. Obviously, you can't go and sell 11, 12 players and bring in 11, 12 players. You've got to supplement it with some talent from the academy and your youth, etc. But the point is that it's not, and this is where people always get hung up on just Ronaldo. There's 4, 5, 6 other players in this side who also need to go if a new manager is going to come in and build something and hopefully win a title at some stage in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, and you know, it's like when we ask the question, like we do to our audiences and when we do media and one for another, and we say, you know, is Ronaldo the problem? The audience interprets that as us saying Ronaldo is the problem. That's not what we're saying. We're saying in the bigger picture here, is there pieces of the puzzle that don't fit? And the reason why Ronaldo doesn't fit is not because of what he does or doesn't do. It's because he's 37 and his legs are going. So you can't get away from reality. Reality bites and you have to listen. So you have to listen to those things and then work through them and find a way. So as I said, we roll back the years. We have a vintage Ronaldo moment. That's fantastic. But then you're looking about how are you going to build this team moving forward? Like you just said there, the fullbacks are shocking. They're awful. Yeah. Harry Maguire has regressed so far in his game in 12 months that he's now no longer a long-term option for Man United. That's your world record defender captain. You know, you look at the midfield, Matic was in there yesterday. Matic isn't a long-term option. You know, Fred is average at best and has good games, but has problems at times. You know, Sancho played well. Rashford, massively out of form. So there's so many problems here that doesn't kind of just dial down to one or two things. It dials down to like 10 things, but of course you will not fix that while you haven't got a full-time manager, whoever that full-time manager will be next.
Good comment here from Cohen. Fans are struggling with the mortality of Ronaldo. Look, he's 37. And I think that's the point. Look, you hit the nail on the head. And look, he's going to score. I would manage his minutes now. Well, with Cavani hopefully back, and hopefully he won't decide that he doesn't want to play and wants to miss, you know, 3/4 of Man United's games. But, you know, if Cavani is back and playing, I'd manage both of their minutes. And I would almost focus Ronaldo to the Champions League, because I think that's where he will perform. I think that's where he'll really sort of excel, because, you know, that's what it's about for him, isn't it? He wants to go and win another Champions League. I don't think United are going to win the Champions League. We could be sitting here next week and United are out against Atletico. But that's the point, is that it just, yeah. I just think that what you saw yesterday was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. It was great to see him get a hat-trick. And look, he scored 12 league goals this season, Rob. And you did say this, actually, the day that he signed, we did a show, didn't we? And you said he could go and score 25 goals and United could finish sixth. And I think that still rings very, very true at the minute. And this is a point, like, it's always either one extreme or another. So, you know, you can say Ronaldo's still a great goal scorer if you give him opportunities. But for the rest of the team, what he does or doesn't do in the long term won't benefit the team. And then you can also say, for example, Ronaldo will go and score X amount of goals, but United will also struggle as a team. And I think that's where people are missing the nuances.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt, as I always say, Cristiano Ronaldo could play for a mid-table team. He'd still score lots of goals. He could be at Wolves and he would score more goals than Jimenez. He would do, because he's Ronaldo. But you have to have a shape in the system, and everyone has to work together. And this is what we're seeing at Man United. So even with that performance yesterday, we talk about Fred. Why did Fred have a good game? It's because he worked really hard, and he had some good moments on the ball. And what we normally have with Fred is that he works really hard and has bad moments on the ball. So it feels like, you know, ultra Fred for a day, doesn't it? You get that, and that's good. Cristiano scores 3 goals, but you can't forget that he's got nowhere near the goal this year. I think he'd scored 1 goal before that since the turn of the year. So that's not really what you want from an elite striker. But again, that's not really Cristiano's fault. He will still do what Ronaldo does. And you've got to hope that in that moment, when he hits it from 45 yards and it goes in the top corner, that he can repeat that. But of course, he can't repeat that. Those things are almost impossible. They're kind of a magic moment that will not repeat itself. There's no way Ronaldo probably scores another goal like that for Man United ever again. You know, you've got to kind of remember that this was his, you know, billionth hat trick, and it was like a classic Ronaldo hat trick, but it felt like you were watching the past. It didn't feel like you were on your way to the future, did it? It felt like a bit of nostalgia. And I've been lucky enough to see Cristiano in the flesh many, many times for United, score so many great goals, win titles, do everything for our football club. And I'm not seeing the same human being. I know some fans think they are, but I'm not seeing it, because he doesn't add to that value to the team overall. And I think yesterday, like, if you take Jadon Sancho's performance out of the game, Ronaldo could score a hat-trick, you still lose. You know, I really do think Sancho was a massive part of the victory yesterday, because he was a creative fulcrum. He was the guy running with the ball, opening up channels. You think about the goal for Ronaldo, the second one, that's Sancho's goal, because he gets through, he breaks the line, and he puts it perfectly on a plate for Ronaldo in a way that Bruno Fernandes hasn't been doing. So I think those little links, that was more what I was happy about, thinking, well, do you know what, this boy Sancho, I'm not going to say what you did, Haydo, about building a team around him. I think you need to build a team around 15 or 20 players. That's the best way to do it. But certainly Jadon Sancho showing that he's now Premier League ready when he wasn't before.
Yeah, Jadon Sancho is fantastic, Rob. And I absolutely love watching him play. And I think what we have to find, that balance in the attack. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, Ronaldo better without Bruno and Bruno better without Ronaldo. So I think it's an interesting conversation. What you get with Bruno Fernandes, or maybe what's dried up with Bruno Fernandes this season, probably is, I know he's got quite a few goals and assists, but I think his impact on games hasn't been as clear as it has in the last couple of seasons. Whether that's because, obviously, him and Ronaldo occupying similar spaces on the pitch, failing to link up, the chemistry is a little bit off. We saw that with Portugal as well, something we highlighted before they came in. And that was really the biggest question. If they could fix that issue, Ollie couldn't do it. I don't think Ranić's found a way to do it either. You know, in Ronaldo's absence, Bruno scored more goals and vice versa. It's obviously a question then of who do you keep? Do you keep Ronaldo or do you keep Bruno? And you're obviously going to keep Bruno because he's younger and he's going to give you more longevity. And he probably fits, you know, the next manager system, whether it's Ten Hag, whoever it is, a lot better than Cristiano Ronaldo does. That's just a fact. But like, what does Ranić do now? Does he, when he plays Ronaldo, does he then give Bruno a rest? And because I actually think Ronaldo looked, you know, or looks more comfortable with someone like Pogba, whose retention in the final third and ball security is generally better than Bruno's. So what does Ranić do here? Because it is a difficult situation. Is he going to have to now bench one of his stars and when he starts the other until the end of the season?
No chance. Absolutely no chance. Because again, in this kind of equation of winning, the way that he's going to win, and he knows this, is through his talent. So the talented players, he's not going to do what Conte might be able to do. Like, Conte might be able to look one week at Son and say, well, you didn't do what I want you to do. So you might be one of our highest paid earners, but you're going to sit on the bench. Man United cannot do that fluid rotation. So on the screen here now, we've obviously got the average positions from this game. And this explains a little bit more about what we talk about here with Bruno and Ronaldo. Is that Man United playing this mid block, and you can see there, that mid block there in their average positions is all about consolidation. How do we stop Tottenham playing through us? Look at Tottenham's shape, and Tottenham's is a coached system that is very, very Conte. Like that there, those average positions, like Conte could draw that on a chalkboard, and that's what it would look like.
It's so organised, isn't it?
Right? It's organised. People looking after their positions. So Man United can't do that at the moment because they haven't got the right players to do those things. Talk about Cristiano, and you just said about Paul Pogba. Paul Pogba's now played 2 or 3 games as the 10, and I don't think he's very good as the 10. Now, I used to say in years gone by, people always used to say about Pogba, oh, why don't we play him higher up the pitch as a 10? And I was like, well, he plays well as that floating 8 on the left, because you can do that channel. Obviously, he's not particularly like rapid in a straight line, like, say, a Rashford, but he can give you skills in and around the box. But I thought yesterday it didn't really work. It really didn't. So, like, you can see here, the kind of the shape of the team, that Pogba was the 10 playing behind, effectively, Sancho and Ronaldo. And that kind of, again, lends itself to the 4-2-2-2 that we've talked about in a 4-4-2 out of the ball when you haven't got possession. That's what that kind of shows. But I didn't really see anything between a striker running off a talented number 10. I thought Pogba kind of huffed and puffed because he had to, again, in a mid-block, having to do more dirty work. Then he played as number 6 later on in the game. He kind of dropped deeper where United were trying to see the game out. But we've not seen any creative numbers, Haydar. So we can't say it worked. We can't say that 10 and that number 7 at the top worked really, really well, because there isn't actually the metrics to prove it. And it didn't pass the eye test for me. I think Pogba is less of a problem for some United fans higher up the pitch, because if he loses the ball, they're not going to get upset. But I saw it yesterday coming out the ground, loads of people saying, oh, Pogba had a stinker. He didn't have a stinker. He just had to do two or three things that were more functional yesterday.
You know, do you know what the issue was, Rob? I think, is that him and Fred, they were the ones who had to sort of marshal Spurs' midfield. And I think when he's asked to go backwards, or when, you know, our midfield gets cut through quite a lot, when that was happening, he obviously looks more poor. You're right, he had to do more functional things. If you get him on the ball higher up in good areas, he's going to have a great impact on the game. But I think you just probably saw some of his deficiencies. But it's a structural problem in Man United. It wasn't just one player. But I don't think he was particularly great, but I didn't think he had a disaster class. I mean, we have a comment here from PA saying, Pogba disaster class, he needs to find his legs. He was bust after 60 minutes again. I didn't really see it like that, but I didn't think he was particularly good. I don't think many players on that pitch were amazing either, to be honest with you. But he is an easy scapegoat for a lot of fans.
He had to play as a 10, 8 and 6 yesterday, three different positions at times where he had to go, and Man United won the game. So it didn't, you know, he's not the problem. Again, we're talking, this is much more deeper structural issues that a tactical coach like Rangnick cannot fix, because he doesn't have the authority all the time. So this is the quandary that we are in. So talking about there about Bruno and Ronaldo and why yesterday worked more than not, is that they didn't have to press, because normally Bruno will do the press, won't he? He will lead the press, and he will shoot ahead of Ronaldo and back, and Ronaldo then will kind of keep the space. Now that spacing issue, I think it's been a big tale of Man United season of why those two haven't clicked, because that spacing hasn't worked. Yesterday, the spacing was better. Why? Because Jadon Sancho was tasked with the guy to look after Ronaldo and be creative. And he can dribble with the ball in a straight line that Bruno cannot do. So I think that's the be-all and end-all of it. But like you said earlier in the show, Haydar, you know, who do you stick with? Well, you've got to stick with Bruno, because Bruno is the guy who's younger, who's proven in the Premier League that he can do it over a period of time. Ronaldo's proven it as well, but Ronaldo is at the end of his career. You know, he's old. So, you know, you've got up here, you've brought up the heat maps, and that just shows the point we were talking about. Tottenham on the right, Man United on the left. On the right, a shape there where your midfield heat is there, that you're getting ball retention, that you're looking after the ball a little bit better, a much better spacing. Man United, zero. Nothing. Nothing there. That right-hand side is Jadon Sancho when he swapped with Rashford. So it shows there that one player of the Man United team had a really good game, I think, Jadon Sancho, even though I think he got 6 out of 10 from the Manchester Evening News, so I don't really know what game they were watching. But you look at that and you kind of say, look at the balance. The rest of the team is still just coping and surviving. And, you know, let's be honest, your centre-back captain slices the ball in the back of the net. You could have lost there. And Tellez decides to have his hand hanging out when the ball's
crossed. Let's talk about Maguire, Rob, in more detail.
Yeah.
As sort of the final topic of the show. And then we will answer a question. You know, there is a question regarding Ten Hag.
Yeah, let's do some questions.
I want to touch on that. So, let's talk about Harry Maguire, because obviously he scored an own goal. I think it was a bit unlucky, to be honest with you. I mean, what can you really do? Although, to be fair, Romero was offside. So I don't really give Maguire that much blame. These things happen. You see own goals all the time. But I still think, you know, sort of nervy at the back. Those issues that we've been seeing. What's concerning me about Maguire is that it doesn't seem like it's bad form. You know, it seems like he's almost regressing, that he's getting worse. And so what do United do here in terms of their setup? Because if you don't have solid centre-back pairing, how can you build foundations for any side?
I think you have to drop him. So like you just saying that you didn't blame him for the goal, I blame him for the goal. I blame him for the goal for two reasons. One, his positioning isn't good in that moment. And two, his recovery speed is non-existent. So the first bit he can sort out his recovery position. The second bit, he isn't quick enough. And the reason why he goes to ground and slashes the ball and ends up putting it past De Gea is because he's made bad decisions in that split second before. It's his fault, Haydar. You know, this is the whole thing about centre-backs, is that centre-backs, unfortunately, need to be perfect. Because if you're not perfect, you get pulled out, don't you? If you do one mistake in a game, that's that. You saw with Maguire after that mistake, his head had gone. There was a moment where he got the ball and he almost lobs it back to De Gea. And De Gea's like, whoa. Now, we were moaning about De Gea's feet, but what's De Gea supposed to do when his centre-back is chipping the ball back up to him at chest height? It's stupid. You know, you can't do that. Just smash it in the stands if you want to look after it and make sure United don't concede a goal. So I think with Maguire, you know, if Lindelof is fit, then there's no way that Maguire should start at the moment, unless you're playing maybe three at the back. I think even then you could consider it. I wasn't surprised that he played yesterday because, again, like we just said 5 minutes ago in the show, is that he's going to have to play his top players. And Maguire is considered one as a captain, as a big earner. What can you do if you drop him? If things don't improve, people will say, well, you dropped Maguire. That's why he lost games. So this is a very difficult situation for the current manager. And I think with Harry Maguire, you know, it's about his confidence levels, as it is for a lot of the United players. But he doesn't breed confidence into me now, Haydar. Like, I don't look at him and give him the benefit of the doubt I did last year. So when he was having bad moments last year, we were saying on this show, give him time to fix it. We're now 2.5 years into the Harry Maguire project. Yeah, and he looks worse than he ever did at any point in that 2.5 years. So to me, that means you move on. You know, you have to kind of look at it and say, right, we will move on. We'll go and find our defender. We'll go and pay Rudiger the earth from Chelsea, or go and nick a player like that, and you work around it, do something different. At the moment, unfortunately, you can't do too much different.
So we spoke about last week, you know, so any top manager will want their centre-backs to have the athleticism and to be able to, you know, win one-on-one duels. And that's what Ollie actually wanted. And this is why it just shocks me that he even signed Maguire for 80 million, because that was actually part of what he wanted to do. He wanted to have centre-backs that could, you know, be able to handle transitions. And Maguire just can't do that. And he's just slow and lumbering. Confidence is shot as well. But yeah, I agree with you on him. But Rob, I want to bring up this question because this gets asked a lot, and I've seen it around on Twitter a lot. It's from Ronan, and it, you know, it's, will the board listen to the fans and get Ten Hag? I think that's just an interesting angle to have a look at it, because we've had this conversation. I want to talk more about, you know, the club as a whole, because the club do look at interactions, don't they? They do look at what's going on social media, and the club would appoint a manager because, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90% of the fan base want to do that. So I just want to get your thoughts on that and talk to listeners a little bit, because although this question might sound maybe a little bit crazy, the board would actually do something like this. You know, that there is no real football strategy in place.
Well, Manchester United are a populist football club. And what do I mean by that? And that's the board listen to their customers. Who are their customers? The fans. People watching this show, people at Old Trafford, people who buy the shirts. So why do you get Cristiano Ronaldo coming back? Is that a football decision? Not really. It's a commercial decision. It's to please the customers. So would the customers say, yeah, we all want Ten Hag? Would the Glazers do it? Well, the short answer to that is, of course, is yes. Is that they will take the guy that they feel that will appease the fans the longest. Yeah? Do we see how this works? So this is how it goes at Man United. And it doesn't work. I don't want the Glazers to listen to the fans. I want the Glazers to go and make a football decision with football people that's the best for the football side of our business. Yeah. So Ten Hag is a great young coach. We keep saying it. Yes, the majority of fans now want Ten Hag. I think you told me, didn't you, Haydar, that on Twitter there was a poll that went round that said,
hilarious.
In general, did Man United fans, how many Man United fans had seen Ajax play this season? And 66% or so said they hadn't seen them play this year.
Yeah.
So why do you want a manager from a club?
I don't see up to five games.
Why do you want a manager from a club you've never watched or you've seen highlights of on Twitter? So this is a problem. So this is why when we talk about what do you do structurally, and this is why I've banged the drum for Ranić to continue, is that you're kind of already in the Ranić project, but you kind of decided that you're not going to do the Ranić thing. So, you know, Pochettino loses one game in the Champions League. He's now the worst manager on earth. You know, a year ago, United fans are by and large 80, 90% would have said they wanted Pochettino.
Yeah. Now suddenly, when Ollie was struggling,
Now suddenly Pochettino's no good. So you see, you can't make proper business football decisions based on what fans want. You can't. Because fans, unfortunately, know the least amount about the game sometimes when you're looking at structure. Fans want success and glory and to feel good. That's what it's about, fandom. There's other fans that look deeper into it and are interested in tactics, the metric side of it. That's much more popular now, as we know, in football. It's a thing in the last 5 or 10 years. But overall, fans just want the guy that wins. That's what we want. We all want that. But how do you get it? So it can't be done on a Twitter poll. It can't be done on social media. It cannot be done on that, because fans will kill that manager the moment he starts losing. Ten Hag can come in on day one, and as I've said to you, I said it on this show, if he loses 6 of the first 12 games, they'll be calling for his head.
Which is very possible. It's going to take a while. Look, I mean, as things stand, Rob, you know, it does look like Ten Hag probably is a front runner for the job. But I generally am going to say
he's
this now.
The front runner.
He is the front runner. He needs like 2 years, because look, this squad is not even as much suited to Ranić ball as it is to Ten Hag ball. Like, it's going to take even longer. There's so many players in this team that will not be able to play possession-based. We've seen this time and time again. We can't build from the back. We can't press. You know, we've shown that a lot of them are, tactically, they don't have it really up there. So if fans think suddenly Ten Hag is going to come in and win it all and Pep regen, I've seen this all the time. You know, he's the next Pep. It's just... it's just nonsense. Obviously, if he went to City, I think he'd win titles because the structure's in place. They've got a great squad, etc. Liverpool, I think it's the same. Man United is such a big job, so that's why. Look, whoever comes in, I'd be happy if he came in. To be honest with you, I'm at this point where let's just get a permanent manager, and I'm just going to sit here for two or three years, and expect. I'm not going to expect any title challenge in 2 to 3 years. If I'm honest with you,
Manchester United have regressed. I think last year that when they came second, you could say that I think all over that 3 years, and the same with Mourinho when he was manager, it's the same kind of pathway, that you get to a certain point, and if you have a good transfer market that following year in that summer, and you get it like spot on, bang on, you get the right players in, you can compete. And I think Man United this year could have competed for the title. I think they could have done. They could have at least been comfortable in that top three conversation. Obviously, they're not. You went and bought one of them and said Sancho was a right buy. I think Varane was a right buy. I think Ronaldo was the wrong buy. Yeah, I think that's the truth. You could have gone and got a striker for a fraction of his cost in terms of wages. Two younger strikers are hungry, and worked around it that way. Now, obviously, we don't talk about Mason Greenwood anymore for obvious reasons, but you lose Mason Greenwood, that's a £100 million striker gone, just eradicated off the face of the Man United earth. So you now have to look at things slightly different going forward. So the next coach is going to have to do it in their own image, and they're going to have to break the mold. They're going to have to upset United fans, because United fans want galacticoism. They want superstars. They do. It's like, we can say they don't, but you've only got to read comment after comment after comment from Man United fans on forums or on Twitter or any kind of socials. And United fans are obsessed with superstars. They want superstars. And we're going to have a manager that says, no, stop, that ends, and we build from the bottom up. And if we lose for a bit, we lose, and you're going to have to take it. Because let's be honest, Haydar, for 10 years, Man United have been losing. Yeah, and they've tried to do it by spending $1.25 billion on players and buying garbage. So this is where it has to change. This is what I'm hoping for. Is that I will back whoever the next coach is if they do it the right way. That's the way I'm looking at it. I think Ranić is in place. He would do it the right way. I trust that. So that's why I've put my kind of everything behind him. But I know he's not going to get the job. Why? Because Man United are a populist club. And if they appointed Ranić, there's enough Man United fans already holding a knife to Ranić's throat.
Rob, they're blaming Ranić for the mess. Yeah. An Oli squad. Yeah. This is the thing that's nonsense. I just want to bring up this comment here from Doru saying, so in fairness, there are fans who never wanted Pochettino, and that's absolutely fine. Plus, with the players he has, this is where I don't agree with. Plus, with the players he has at PSG, it's unfair to say it's one game, it's changed fans' mind. There's a great graphic from the Real game, Rob. And you've got the back four, and you've got the midfield, very tight, you know? Sort of, there's not much space between them. And you've got Mbappe, Neymar, and Messi bunched. Neymar's up here, like beyond the right back of Real Madrid. There's no front line to press. And this is a point you can say PSG. I mean, the comment here, PSG has the world's best stars. But this is a point. This is where it's where there is more. You have to delve deeper into it. You know, Tuchel struggled to get them to press. Emery struggled. Ancelotti didn't win the Champions League with these players. But this is the point, is that you can have 11 of the best players. Man United are showing this, Rob, that they've got a lot of good individuals in their team. Yeah. But if they're not able to implement, or they're not able to do the fundamental basics in that system and do their roles like Manchester City do, doesn't matter if you have the 11 best players on the pitch, a coherent unit will beat a team that's full of 10 or 11 individuals. And this is a point where it just, because we've seen what he can do at Tottenham. Now, I honestly, that doesn't mean that Ten Hag can then translate what he's doing with his players, because they're not superstars, are they, to Man United. So that, I think there's two risks there with both managers, to be honest with you. So I sit here and when I hear like someone's argument for this or someone's argument for that, I just think until we see them at Man United doing it and being able to build a club properly, it's all just nonsense. Because now suddenly the Eredivisie is now a great league to win, but Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was obviously, I know Ajax is a huge club, but Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's trophies were ignored, weren't they? Because, oh, it's just Molde. Do you know what I'm trying to say? That suddenly Eredivisie is a great, great league. It's all about where you sit on the spectrum, really.
It's again the modern world of whataboutism, isn't it? It's what it is. Whataboutry. You know, this manager does this, but what about that? It is so pointless. And the thing is, when you get caught up in that cycle, you do just go round in circles non-stop. And this is the circles at Man United, their fans, their football club, and their players have been doing for a long time. It's this big cycle. You've got to stop and break this cycle and find a better way. So this is the whole thing about United and the next manager. And you look at what Ranić's done. I think we've seen enough of Ranić to know how he would shape this Man United team over the next 2 or 3 years. If he was allowed to, if he had the reins, he would go out there and he wouldn't want to spend 40, 50, 60 million pounds on every player. He would go and delve into the 10s, the 15s, the 20s. He would go and be getting the next Kante, the next Mahrez. You know, those players that had success, say, with play teams like Leicester and applying them. A Tielemans, you might go and get him, but is Tielemans going to be cheap? No, he's going to be 50, 60 million. So even that bracket is expensive. So you've got to go and find players that are not just cost effective, but have hunger. Come to the football club with pure hunger. Now, luckily, Man United have got a really good youth team. So I think if Ten Hag comes in, Ten Hag will like that. He will see 3 or 4 players that he will go, I can turn these players into first teamers, 18, 19 years old. You know, you look at Charlie McNeil, you look at Garancho, we've talked about Hannibal loads. There are other players as well in the system and the setup who are really, really good and you can take to the next level. But you are going to have to accept that you're going to lose. Yeah, you can do it, but you have to accept as fans that you are going to lose. So a game like this against Tottenham, you probably lose that. But I'm talking in the context of a season. So as long as you're happy that you can build it for the long term, because this is the truth, Man United fans don't want that. Man United fans want it to work tomorrow. I saw a comment there, just gone through it. Tim Sherwood said that United should keep CR7 for one more year and build the team around him. Now, Tim Sherwood is a former Premier League manager. It's complete nonsense, isn't it? But that's what a lot of Man United fans think. So he's saying it. So what pundits do, they say stuff that they think is populist, that will massage a certain kind of viewer and fan. We try not to do that on this show. We try and be a little bit more straight about it. But the truth is, you cannot build around a 37-year-old. You need to build around youth. You need to build around some kind of prudence of squad building. Take it slow. Find one player at a time. Integrate them into the team in a system that all your players understand. This Man United team doesn't really want to press, doesn't really like the system. We'll do some of it sometimes, won't do it other times. And they're all about the glory moments, like you said there, Haydar, about kind of, you know, having individuals that are good, but not really a team. A better team will always be a better bunch of individuals, always, every day of the week. The PSG conundrum is a bit like the United one. They've had managers galore there and they can't win the Champions League. And that's all they care about because it's about sports washing. They only care about winning the Champions League. They're not really bothered about winning Liga. They're just not, because it's just a nothing league to them. What they're interested in is winning the Champions League. And this year they've failed again. But that does not make Pochettino a bad manager in the same way it didn't make Tuchel a bad manager. So United have got options. They can go out there, they can find one of them, but we must do it right.
Yeah, look, I think people are never going to agree. Like you said, last year, Pochettino was flavour of the month. This year, it's Ten Hag. I think there's a lot of LVG about Ten Hag as well. I think fans need to understand that, is that when you have a look at what LVG was trying to do, look, he was definitely past his best, but a lot of the fundamentals there in terms of possession and, sort of the players understanding their roles in the system is very Louis van Gaal. And a lot of fans didn't like Louis van Gaal. I'm not saying that Ten Hag plays that, but a lot of the fundamentals. Look, he's Dutch. He's come through,
it's very
the
similar.
Whole Cruyff system. Yeah, and this is the point. Obviously, there's more of a modern spin on it. Ajax are a much more pressing side, etc. under Ten Hag, but there are a lot of similarities. I didn't enjoy LVG football, if I'm honest. And the same way, I'd much rather, and I hate the fact that this is true, I'd much rather watch Klopp's teams than Pep's teams. I love the sort of heavy metal football, the counter-pressing, getting the ball from back to front quickly, verticality. That's what I prefer to watch. And I think we did see that with Pochettino and Tottenham. But look, ultimately, at the end of the day, Rob, like you said, whoever comes in, I'll back them. I'm at the point now where I'm kind of just tired of the whole thing. It's, Ranić looks tired. I'm tired. Let's get the season over. Let's get the manager in. And we build properly. And we say this every single year for the past 10 years. But that is actually where I'm at the moment. And I'm just tired of, there's a comment here from Scott. And that's fine. This is Scott's opinion. Pochettino, again, we show how planless United are. What's the point in hiring a tactic-focused interim like Ralph? Then you go back to a player pleaser. And there's this really odd narrative, and we're going to finish on this. I know that we've spoken about this quite a lot, but there's this odd narrative that Poch should come in and be a Glazer puppet. I just don't understand it. If people go and read, there's, I can't remember who the book's by, and I'll find it and I'll put it in the link under. But there's extracts of Pochettino. Twice a day, he does double sessions, by the way. If you don't conform to what he wants, you're out of the team. So I don't understand where he'll come in and just be a Glazer puppet or player pleaser. It's just because you're hearing these reports and these leaks, these insane leaks that are coming out of this club saying that the players want Pochettino, they prefer him. So everyone's suddenly thinking, oh, well, he's just going to conform to players. It's just rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. And that's why I don't understand where these narratives...
He's not a player pleaser at all. He isn't. Like I've worked with people who've worked with Poch and we've I've worked kind of in the background and stuff that he did at Southampton and Tottenham. He's not a player pleaser at all. He's the opposite. You either go with him or you're gone. That's what he is. That's the kind
if
of
you're a player pleaser. You also
can't
don't
do that
sub
at PSG.
Messi, Rob.
He
subs off Messi consistently.
Yeah, he can't do that at PSG because of what PSG are, not because of what Pochettino is. So it's the same issue that I think Ranić kind of has at United, is that, he has to go with Ronaldo for the rest of the season. He hasn't got a choice. It's just what he's got, it's the cards he's been dealt with, and he has to try and win with what he's got. And this is what managers have to do a lot of the time. They have to kind of take their own fundamental principles and park them for a little bit. There's no doubt that Pochettino will be better in an environment where he is allowed to build the club. That's kind of what he is. He's not a player pleaser at all. He brings players along that love him, because they love his system, because they help him move on. In the kind of way, I think he's like a younger version of Mourinho in that sense, is that highly tactical, highly strategical, does a lot of work on the training ground on certain things, and then allows the flair players to go and be a little bit more flair, so gives them that function. So you would see that Pochettino likes the counter-press, but he can't really play the counter-press too much at PSG. It's not a thing because you've got superstars who want the ball and take 800 touches. Kind of a bit like United. Ronaldo wants that ball from 45 yards because he wants to put it in the top corner. But the truth is, it might only go in one out of 150 times. So it's not clever football. So I think that this is the whole thing with whoever your next coach is that that's what they're going to have to iron out. And the team is going to have to be a reflection of that manager. So Pochettino's stock is low. Man United fans not interested. His stock will not rise until the next manager comes. But why is suddenly Ten Hag a better coach than Pochettino? A coach that lost to Pochettino in a Champions League semi-final when he was 3-0 up. So these things, you see, they don't all correlate. This is the whole problem.
That doesn't make Ten Hag a bad manager either.
Exactly. That's the point. That's totally the point. Where people will be saying that Ten Hag is so much better coach today than Pochettino. Well, he was no better or worse when he lost that Champions League semi-final to him. Neither were worse because of it. Do you get what I'm saying? So this is the whole thing. I don't look at these two coaches that we're going to talk a lot about. I would not be surprised if, like, United don't choose either of them in the end. Though, as I said, I think Ten Hag is the undoubted front runner at the moment. And it's because we're going to see Richard Arnold's influence in this. And Richard Arnold is hot on Ten Hag. We know this. So he's hot on Ten Hag. He's the guy that runs the operation. Therefore, we probably will get Ten Hag. But United fans are going to have to be patient. Even if they get Ten Hag, don't celebrate it. Yeah, on day one, when he's announced as manager and the social crones at Man United say, here we are, we've got the Dutch master.
And like, we're goes, back, oh. United are back.
Don't celebrate nothing until you've seen it, until you watch it, until you give the team time to grow. Because I think this is the problem, that United always celebrate signings like they've won a trophy. And that's, I think, something... You know, I'm going to say one thing to end the show, Haider, right? I'm in the ground early every match, right? And I watch the warm-ups because I've always done it, watched it religiously. I always watch how United train in the moment and see how they are, who's ready, who's not. And you can always see it in the warm-ups. You can see it in their kind of body language that you can't see in a football match. And I absolutely hate it that Man United fans celebrate goals in training matches now. I watch it. Ronaldo put the ball in the top corner and everyone who's in the ground celebrates like it's a goal. And I'm like, what are you lot doing? Because that's the expectation of Man United now. Do you get what I'm saying? Is that they're looking at things. They're so looking for any crumb of success that they celebrate the goals in the warm-up. And it's embarrassing. We need to stop being embarrassing as a fan base. We need to support managers and give them times to fix stuff behind the scenes. If Ten Hag is the next manager, let's all support him. But if he loses matches, let's continue to support him.
Great way to end. And my final point on this, Rob, before we wrap up, is if Thomas Tuchel is available, get him above both for the other two.
Totally. And that's why I just said that. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. We talk about these two managers, obviously in Pochettino and Ten Hag, and they're taking up the airspace. But the truth is with all the problems at Chelsea, the Chelsea problems are going to get worse. And that will probably mean that Tuchel will not be manager there next year. And if that is the case, he would be the best manager on the market. No doubt about it.
Yep. He's a winner. One Champions League, stunning in the Premier League. You know, he's a current Champions League winning manager. You know, very organised, great system. Can maybe bring a couple of players with him. And
he can bring a centre-back with him for free.
Centre-back with him, yeah. So that's what I was thinking. But look, guys, thank you so much for all your fantastic comments. You know, we really, really do appreciate it. That's why we do the show. Love all the opinions as well. And we always like to just talk it through. And look, we're not always going to agree, but that's absolutely fine. That's football. Yeah. We are looking to do a couple more sort of manager shows, aren't we, Rob? So we'll be doing a Tuchel versus Ten Hag later on in the week. So make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button as well. Share this with all your friends. And make sure you give us a follow on at TF Mastercast. Give myself a follow on at Haider_Rabani. And give Rob a follow on @_Rob_B. Ronaldo, roll back the years. Can he do it in the Champions League? We will see.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.